It's the 16th of April 2021, and this is the Property Buyer and Sellers Podcast. Welcome back. If it's your first time, welcome along, and thanks for listening and joining us. We talk about all things property in relation to buying, selling, renting, what's going on in the news, and very much else, really. If you'd like to get in touch, please do so. You can email me directly on ken@jamesalexander.com. I'm Ken Hume, and we are estate agents based in Southwest London. And this podcast is more about the individual buyers and sellers. And we have interesting guests come on. Next week, we've got an independent financial advisor coming along, and she always has an interesting take on what's going on. And the headlines today in property. First of all, the UK's most expensive apartment has gone on sale. And guess who it is? Billionaire Nick Candy, the Candy Brothers. Hyde Park, number one Hyde Park, the penthouse is on the market. It's on the market for a cool 175 million. £175 million. That's crazy, isn't it? And it is absolutely huge. It's the size of 18 average homes in England combined and has a 21-metre swimming pool. 175 million. We worked out that if you bought this as a second home, as doubtless anyone that buys this was, and you're a UK resident, your stamp duty alone would be 15% of the price, i.e. 26 million. That's just the stamp duty is 26 million. Isn't that crazy? In other news, something I've just heard hot off the press from our mortgage advisor, and I should preface this by saying that this is not financial advice. You should seek independent financial advice, of course, but we are here to bring you the news, and the news is that the new 95% Help to Buy mortgages are coming, and products are being released on Monday from the Halifax and Santander. What we know so far is that the maximum loan to value is going to be 500,000 at 95% on the Halifax scheme, and the income requirement is going to be 4.49 times income by the looks of things, and it looks like they will do flats and houses. And the reason why that's critical is here in London, if you're going to help first-time buyers buy, then it needs to be for flats as well, because most of the time it will be first-time buyers looking at flats because of the income multiples. And so that's very good news. We've been waiting for these products since the Chancellor announced that they would be released, the schemes would be released in early April, but it's taken the lenders a little bit of time to catch up with the budget announcement. And so we're looking forward to bringing you more news about those schemes next week. But the reason why we're so keen on that is because the key to unlocking the bottom of the market is to get first-time buyers buying. And first-time buyers, therefore, need mortgage products that work for them. And when we've got an 80% average loan to value, where does a first-time buyer find the extra 20%? It's crazy. It's a lot of money. So hopefully this will unlock the market for a lot of people. It has been said that they'll require an enhanced credit score. So if you struggle with your credit score, you may not be able to obtain these mortgages. Enhanced credit score just means that they're going to be a little bit more careful with who they lend to. So hopefully if you've got a clean credit score, it'll work for you. As I said, this is not financial advice, but good news that they're coming. We'll bring you more details on that. And in fact, we're hoping to have Emily Cadmore from Fairstone Financial Management next week on the show. She was their top award-winning mortgage advisor last year. She's Financial Advisor of the Year for Fairstone 2020. And we look forward to having her on the show to give us her take on what it's like on the ground dealing with people at the moment. What are people asking for? Are they moving out? Are they moving in? So there is several other headlines that caught my eye. Another one is house builders deleting negative reviews. This is disgraceful. But I've heard this time and time again, and it seems to involve one company. And I find it really frustrating. Trustpilot. Three house builders have had hundreds of critical online reviews after unhappy customers flooded ratings websites with complaints. And they've removed hundreds of these critical reviews. Transparency data supplied by Trustpilot shows Barratt had 127 bad reviews removed, has a rating of 4.1 out of 5, and yet there's 127 reviews have been removed. It's not right, is it? How can it be an independent rating site if people can't independently rate it without them being removed? Bellway has had reviews taken down too. Bellway has a rating of 4.2 after 247 bad reviews were deleted, and Taylor Wimpey, rated 4, had 47 reviews taken down. Bellway and Barratt said that only reviews that broke the rules were removed, and Taylor Wimpey said it had followed Trustpilot's rules. Bovis, Barclay and Persimmon do not challenge bad online reviews. I think you can read something into that. Far more transparency. So good one for Bovis, Barclay and Persimmon, and a bad one for Taylor Wimpey and Barratt. Other things going on. We've got lots of other headlines this week. London rents. This is an interesting one if you're a landlord or you're thinking of renting out your own property. For a while now, if you've been listening to the show, you'll know that London rents have been a bit of a bloodbath. They've been falling. But all of a sudden now, as the pandemic is releasing and the fantastic vaccine rollout continues apace, London is coming back. The firms are opening back up and therefore people need to be in and around the city. And a lot of people have said, oh, London's dead. People will never go back there. But I beg to differ. I think, you know, London is the biggest employer in the UK. And yes, there will be those that can Zoom commute and good for them. But many of those will still need access to London, maybe several days a week, maybe less, but they'll certainly need to get in. And I do think we'll see a bounce. We've seen a lot of exodus from London going out to the suburbs and further, even to the coast, south coast, up north, all sorts. But I think what we'll see is that it's not quite the dream that people expect when they look at their average commuting bills, especially with British Rail prices being so high these days. The railways are costing a fortune in commuting. And then if you add on the extra commuting time, which you have to add on to your working day, in my opinion, then you might find that we have a bit of a reversal of trend as things get back into inverted commas normal. But anyway, London rents climbed for the first time during quarter one of 2021, although the rise was a mere £8. But what it does show is that the market's stabilizing. It says that gently improving news with rents across the Northeast, traditionally the most affordable UK region, rents increased by 7.2% or £37 a month. The DPS, this is one of the deposit schemes in the UK, their quarterly index shows overall resilience in the UK's rental market during quarter one, with significant increases in rent in Tyne and Wear up 5.78% and Merseyside up 5.64%. So that's interesting and good to see that the London market is showing resilience after struggling since the pandemic and the lockdown, of course. Dubai's British property interest empire has been revealed. This is the ruler of Dubai, and this is Sheikh Mohammed bin Rashid Al Maktoum, and he's got a portfolio that exceeds 40,000 hectares, 100,000 acres, making one of the country's largest landowners. Well, who knew? There was a foreign landowner that owned quite so many acres in the UK. Includes everything from mansions, stables, and training gallops across Newmarket to white stucco houses in some of London's most exclusive addresses, including extensive moorland, 25,000 hectares in the Scottish Highlands. The Guardian, this is an article from The Guardian, I should say, and it mapped holdings to Sheikh Mohammed, who is vice president and prime minister of the UAE, using land registry records and company filings. House prices hit record high. There's an article this week from Daily Express and City AM. Analysis from the Halifax shows that house prices have hit a record high despite rising at a slower rate than a year ago, hitting an average of £252,765. The report reveals a 5.7% year-on-year increase in quarter one, with this down from nearly five-year high of 7% recorded last year. On a quarterly basis, prices rose 0.3% in the first 3 months of this year, marking a slowdown on the 2.5% increase seen in quarter four 2020. Reflecting on the figures, AJ Bell analyst Laith Calaf was optimistic about the outlook for the sector, saying, while there might be a few bumps along the way, particularly at the end of the stamp duty, the property market has proved itself to be unbelievably resilient. He notes that much of this comes down to the efforts the government and the Bank of England have made to make mortgage borrowing incredibly easy and cheap. Now, there's a think tank that's suggesting that the stamp duty should be cut permanently as well. Now, this is an interesting one because for a while we've said that, you know, stamp duty is an unfair tax and we would love to see it removed. In my view, that will never happen. And the reason it will never happen is it's such an easy cash cow for the government. You know, if we take that mansion alone, you know, the amount of tax take on that, if the government removed that, then where are they going to get that tax from elsewhere? It's one of the easiest taxes in the world to collect. Why? Well, when you sell a property, the stamp duty gets paid to the solicitor and the solicitor is duty bound to pass it on to the government. All they do is receive it. That's it. And the money's in the coffers. No real administration for them at all. So we don't expect that to change. But the OECD, that's the Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development, suggests that it's stifling the market. It has done for years. And the way it's tiered, what it means is that we find that older people, particularly if they're selling large houses, because all of their equity is quite often in their house, they find it very difficult to downsize because of the stamp duty bill that they've got to pay. So something should be done for older people as well, in my view, to make that happen more readily. Another article this week in the Times, recovery ushers in higher loan-to-value mortgages. Well, we've spoken about the help-to-buy scheme anyway, but banks are planning to offer more high-to-loan-to-value products as they're prepared to take on more risk amid growing house prices and a strong economic recovery. It's interesting, isn't it? The market opens out as the pandemic recedes and the vaccine rollout continues, confidence increases. The latest Bank of England credit conditions survey has revealed that lenders expect demand for mortgages to reach the highest level on record in the next 3 months as the stamp duty holiday, household savings and increased income and home working create incentives to move. Lenders said that mortgage availability had risen in the first quarter and was expected to improve further in the coming quarters thanks to a reduction in mortgage rates, an increase in high loan-to-value mortgages and an easing in credit criteria. Lenders believe that the underlying strength of the UK housing market is improving, said Anthony Codling, a housing analyst who runs TwinDig, a property portal, said. Average house prices in Britain, as we said, have risen, and home buyer demand is at its strongest relative to supply since 2004. Wow. Home buyer demand is at its strongest relative to supply since 2004, according to a survey by the RACS, that's the Royal Institute of Chartered Surveyors. Hinckley and Rugby Building Society is planning to launch a two-year variable rate at a rate of 0.99% in the next 2 weeks, with more firms expected to follow suit as competition hots up in the mortgage market. Well, that is interesting. We're going to see that hot up. One of the things that happens is as everybody gets scared, so the mortgage market locks down. And what's happened is that where everybody couldn't really anticipate what was going on, so the mortgage market locked down. There were less products available last year. That really is releasing a pace now, and that should help people with confidence, because without access to finance, as after all, most transactions in the UK do involve mortgages, then the market would die. And the opposite's happening. We're getting more supply of money, and where we're getting more supply of money, this can only be good news for the property market, for those who wish it to rise, of course. Whether you do or not, well, that's subjective, isn't it? Personally, I like to see the market to be rising slowly to give confidence, but not massively, so that it takes people out of the sector. And particularly young people, I think, are really struggling to get that first time buyer loan right now, and that can be a real problem for people. In terms of the week here at JA, what we found is still people are calling up and saying, can we make the stamp duty deadline? It's a good question. There are, of course, two stamp duty deadlines coming, if you don't know. The first one is at the end of June, and this is for property purchases up to 500,000. There is relief available, giving a maximum saving of £15,000. So if you're buying at £500,000 or more and you can complete before the end of June, then you will save yourself £15,000 maximum. There's a second deadline coming as well. And what they've done is they've tried to step it so that there's not a cliff edge. And the way they've stepped it is, I think, the government have looked at average house prices in the UK, which are around 250, just above, as we just discussed, about 259 right now, I believe. So what they've done is they've put a second step in and they've said, as long as you buy before September 2021, then you will have relief up to the first 250,000 of your purchase. So in other words, if you're buying at 250,000, provided you buy before the end of September 2021, you will get 100% relief on the stamp duty payment. Of course, here in London, that doesn't really have a massive impact. The maximum saving, therefore, is £2,500. And when you push that against the saving before June of £15,000, we could still see that as a bit of a cliff edge. But you'll hear it right here first. You know, we are at the coalface here. We are a working estate agency branch, and we do see the trends ahead of everyone else, because of course we see the sentiment. We see how many people are coming in and viewing, what the confidence is, what the sense of urgency is, how people are feeling about the housing market. And I can tell you now that at the moment, the feelings are quite positive. I am having a lot of conversation with people saying that if you are looking to meet that stamp duty deadline, you really do need to have all your ducks in a row. And what I mean by that is that if you don't have a high quality solicitor that's available, there are plenty of high quality solicitors out there right now that are absolutely snowed under with applications for new conveyancing. And for them, particularly, if they've got too much work already, it may well be the case that if you go to them and they don't answer the phone, don't return your call quickly, don't email you back quickly, that they are snowed under. And you should really consider that very carefully, because what we're finding right now is lots of transactions that are in mid-flow. Solicitors are not returning calls, they're not returning emails, and they're delaying transactions due to the fact that they're snowed, just too much work. Similarly with lenders, we're finding the same. Many lenders are having trouble with backlogs of applications. Many are stuck with underwriters. So the answer to the question is this. If you wish to make the deadline of the end of June and you're selling right now, then you will be pushed hard to make that happen. It can happen. You definitely can still do it. If you're a cash buyer, for sure. But again, it does depend on having the right solicitor behind you and preferably having a vacant property, because there are so many other variables as well. For instance, you might be buying a property, but you may be reliant on your buyer, and they may be going with a solicitor who is not very good or not very efficient, and that can materially impact your transaction. So we now have a blacklist of certain firms of solicitors that we're saying, well, if you're using that solicitor, we know they're slow right now, so therefore we may not agree the deal with you as a buyer. We won't tell you which solicitor to use. We can give you some recommendations, which we derive no commission from, but we certainly wouldn't encourage you to use that solicitor. And if you do, it may be that our vendor considers they'd rather go with another buyer. And most buyers are listening to that, because if you get the wrong solicitor, it will go wrong, and you won't make that deadline, and it will cost you up to £15,000. So the answer to the question is, if you're looking to buy before June, if you have a flat to sell, then the first thing I would say is make sure that you approach the managing agents, pay for what we call the inquiry pack or the management pack, which answers the questions which the other side will ask once your flat is sold. And then you're halfway down the road to getting that done. You know, searches are delayed at the moment. Probate is delayed at the moment. So if you're buying a probate property and the application is in, they're struggling with probate for obvious reasons with the pandemic. And so you need to be sure of when that probate is coming through, how complex the probate is, because if it's a complex case, it's less likely to come through in time than if it's a very straightforward case of probate. So lots of trip points. And most of all, I would say, get your ducks in a row. Make sure if you're buying with a mortgage, you go with a mortgage lender that has the capacity to get it through. Speak to an IFA that's an independent financial advisor. This is not financial advice, as said before, but you really do need to make sure that you speak to someone independent that can tell you, because with the IFAs, they're not tied to any particular lender, and therefore they can advise you across the whole of market. And sometimes you'll find that one lender is very good, but actually very slow at processing applications right now. They just don't have the staff. Many of these lenders have shed staff over the pandemic, and therefore people with home working, they're struggling with the changes and the administration, and this can have a material effect on you as a borrower. So make sure you speak to an IFA. It might be, for instance, that the lender that you would like to use with the best rate isn't going to make it in time, chances are, whereas one with a slightly worse rate will make it in time. And then you've got to weigh the 15,000 saving against the difference in interest rates, depending on how long you'll be tied in to that lender for. I said today we'd do a little bit of a jargon bust on the mortgage side of things. And again, you know, just to preface and say it's not mortgage advice, but a few things. People are asking a lot of questions about what are remote valuations or AVMs. This is something that's coming up time and time again. Lenders now are offering valuations where quite often, especially at low loan to value, let me qualify loan to value. This is where if you had a 50% deposit and you were going for 50% mortgage, that would be a low loan to value, because the loan you're applying for is the same as the deposit you're putting in. If you were going for a 95% mortgage and had a 5% deposit, this would be a high loan to value, because the amount you're borrowing is vastly more than the deposit that you hold. What some lenders are doing at the moment is automated valuations. And this is where they won't actually visit the property at all. They'll actually look at, they'll get a chartered surveyor still to look at the property and its value relative to others that have sold around it, all online, all digitally, perhaps street view it, perhaps drive by, but won't actually physically go inside the property. This is becoming more and more common now. And so if you are a first-time buyer and they're doing this kind of valuation, you may want to have a home buyers or full structural survey. Certainly, it's something that I know surveyors and solicitors will advise you to have. It does depend on the type and style of the property and the confidence you have in what you're buying and your knowledge of building construction. Particularly if you're buying a house, then you should have a separate independent survey, because the lenders will only survey for their own reasons. So as long as they know that their money is safe in the property, they won't necessarily care. Let me give you an instance of where that would matter. Imagine if you have a 50% deposit and a 50% loan, and the house you're buying needs £20,000 worth of work. Then, of course, if the property gets sold for less than you pay, the lender wouldn't care if it got sold under distress, because their money would still be very safe. It's you personally that would take the hit, because of course you have that 50% deposit in there. So it's very important that you know exactly what you're buying. So, you know, make sure you get proper advice when it comes to surveys. And often with that, you'll find that surveyors will disclaim. They will say to you, you know, and it can be scary as well. That's the other thing I should say. If you're a first time buyer and you're expecting your surveyor to come back saying, you know, the sun was out and what a lovely choice you've made, that's not what surveyors are for. And that's not how this works. Surveyors will firstly disclaim to make sure that their own interests are protected. And that means saying things like, you need to check the wiring, you need to check the plumbing, you may need to check the roof, you may need to have a damp survey. These things shouldn't necessarily put you off. You need to breathe, step back, calmly collect your thoughts before making a rash decision to pull out. Because what we often find with first-time buyers is it's quite frightening. And that's quite usual to be frightened by these things, and right and proper. But what you should do is make sure you take proper advice, because we find quite often if you speak to a local builder, professional, surveyor, etc., then you can find that the problems that you thought were massive are actually much smaller than you might expect in terms of cost, because surveyors tend not to put the numbers on the cost of works and things that need to be put right. Whereas the actual builders will say to you, well, actually, you know, that roof repair will cost X. So you've got a real peace of mind of knowing what that is. You might want to take that and try and negotiate it with your sellers. And in some instances, you will be successful. It does depend, of course, on the market where you are. So for instance, some towns at the moment, the prices are still flying, so that they're rising so quickly, especially places like Devon and Cornwall, that what you might find is that you might have agreed a property sale price of, let's say, 200,000. And now similar properties are on the market for 220,000. So that if you then wanted to negotiate over a few thousand pounds worth of work, the vendor might say, well, no, the property is now worth X and not Y. And they may well be right. You would have to check the market where you are locally to see whether that's the case. But I would say be very careful. Make sure that you step back and take a careful look at that survey, and not just with your eyes, but get a professional to look over it with you. Surveyors are very good generally as well. If you call them up, they'll chat it through with you and tell you what they think and where the particular pinch points are. And the surveys, these days, surveys are quite clear on what the big problems are. They categorize the different levels of risk, and that's all set out in the survey together with a good description of the parts of a house, you know, right from the roof through to the floor, so you can see exactly what it is that they're talking about. So going forward, what do we expect to happen? Well, we expect a bit of a slowdown as people feel that they can't meet the June deadline. It, as I've said already, it will be difficult for those to do it. I think that's here in London. I think across the UK, as I've said, it won't be so significant for those buying around 250. Pushed against that, and the thing that we're really interested to see is, of course, these new rates that are being released next week by the Halifax and Santander for the new Help to Buy mortgages. We're excited about this because we've been expecting it for some weeks since Rishi Sunak's announcement that these Help to Buy mortgages were for the first time coming available to the second-hand market as opposed to the new build market. The new products are specifically available to properties on the market which are not new build, and that's great news for first-time buyers. And some of the products will apparently include flats as well. You can buy flats with these products, so that'd be really interesting. We will come back next week with some meat on the bone with that, telling you actually what the rates will be. That's the one thing we haven't heard yet, but we think they'll be specifically aiming at first-time buyers. 5% deposit will be enough, but your credit score will have to be very strong, very good, no question marks about that, in order to qualify. So that's it for this week's podcast. I hope you've enjoyed it. Next week, we'll have Emily Cadmore of Fairstone Financial Management, the financial advisor, coming on the show. And that's apt because we'll have details on these new first-time buyer mortgages. And that is so important because if you think about the market, it tends to start at the bottom. So in other words, if the flat seller can't sell the flat, the first-time buyer to the first-time buyer, then the flat seller can't buy on the next rung of the housing ladder. And this is how it traditionally works. So you get the first time buyer buys the flat, then the flat owner becomes the flat owner. The flat owner then has a family, requires a garden or a house, and then they sell their flat to a first time buyer again, and then up the chain. So the houses start to move and the people in those houses either scale down for a retirement home or up for a bigger family home, or maybe relocate to a different area, which is, as we've discussed, been very, very common lately. The biggest search area for that has been Devon and Cornwall. And of course, it used to be London. And right now, Devon and Cornwall, massive price rises in those areas. And that's purely because of the pandemic. And it's very interesting to see. But it's nice to see London now. We expect a bit more of a pushback over the coming weeks. And it'll be interesting to see how that rolls out. You'll hear it here first on the Property Buyers and Sellers podcast. Hope you've enjoyed the show this week. Thanks for joining me. Do send me an email, ken@jamesalexander.com, if there's any subjects you'd like us to broach right here on the Property Buyers and Sellers podcast. So until next week, that is it from us. And finally, we have a quote of the week. And this comes from Lucille Ball this week. I'd rather regret the things I've done than regret the things I haven't done. Love that. So that's from Lucille Ball. I'd rather regret the things that I've done than regret the things that I haven't done. Thanks for listening. We'll see you at the same time next week. Look forward to it. Take care.